Welcome to the Elijah Winfrey Show, where each week Eli and Tony chat with guests about autism, homelessness, underprivileged youth, and ways they're giving back to their community. The dynamic duo also answer your email questions and get you caught up on their past weekend. So, sit back, relax, and get ready for a terrific show. Here are your hosts, Elijah Winfrey and Tony Boucher.
Hello, folks, and welcome to the Elijah Winfrey Show. I am indeed your host, Elijah Winfrey, joined each week by my fabulous, wonderful, and super talented co-host, Tony Boucher. We have a great show lined up for you today, folks. Our guest today is a phenomenal individual. I'm excited to tell you about our connection and his work in the community and at Leschi Elementary School. So sit back and relax. That will be brought to you momentarily. Before we do, let's get you caught up on our past week. Tony, how's your past week? How are things in South Carolina? How's the weather? Are there any new restrictions there? I know we've tightened up things here in Washington State, but how are you?
Yeah, so the weather's cooled down a little bit. It was in the 50s last night, and we just got done with a really nice walk. I think it's maybe 68 out there right now, and it's breezy. It feels like a perfect fall day for us. Now, we don't have any new restrictions here that I know of, but I'll be honest, something may have happened last night that I wasn't aware of because I've been a little bit focused on what I'm doing here. And so... I don't anybody take my word for it, but not to my knowledge in terms of restrictions. I'm getting ready to have our jewelry store go live this week, and so that's been a big focus for me, is getting all the pieces up on the site and making sure everything is tested out so that we can have our women sell their pieces and do that for the Christmas season. So that's been going on here. I know... But that's about it here, Eli. What's going on for you besides adjusting to new restrictions?
You know, it's been a tough couple of days. I think we knew that restrictions were coming here, and we've tried to kind of plan accordingly. But, you know, for the most part, you know, all I did basically was kind of continue to jot down some ideas and ways, you know, we can help the community, ways that we can give back. And yesterday, it was kind of tough getting out of the starting blocks for both Lisa and I. We, you know, once we heard the restrictions on Sunday, it felt like we were just stuck in mud, you know, because there are going to be so many more folks that we know that we're pretty close to that are going to be impacted. And it just kind of took the wind out of our sails just a little bit. We have since, you know, kind of, you know, gotten back up and moved forward. But the past week was good. I didn't do too much in a way of getting outside and, you know, being really active, something I'm going to do this week. And I'm excited about that. But family's doing good. You know, remote learning, you know, for Jordan is going well. You know, we have our struggles with that math. It's so difficult. Just spending time, you know, with him, doing that. And, you know, Lisa takes care of that part. Cause I've told him, you know, to his face, you know, I said, Jordan, Daddy doesn't know this math really well at all. And I don't want to put you in a compromising position to where you are really, really, you know, struggling more than you may be right now. And so Lisa kind of handles that. And you know, even she says it's, you know, some things are just very difficult. So, but other than that, he's doing well, he's thriving. Mm-hmm. And it's all we can do right now, right? You know, you try not to stress yourself. You try to do what you can and get by and make sure you're mentally healthy at the same time.
Yeah, Eli, I think a lot of families probably are really struggling right now with the homeschooling because it's just that time of year. You know, the holidays are gearing up and, you know, students have been working hard. Families have been going at this now for the whole, you know, semester or quarter. And it's a hard time of the year. So I think
it really is.
It's definitely something that, you know, if there are listeners out there who are like really feeling it, you're not alone. We're having that too. I know Adrian is supposed to do a special area this morning, and he, instead of doing that, I caught him watching Beyblade YouTube videos. You know, it's like he was clearly with his actions saying he needs a break from the norm. So
right.
I think we're all feeling it, Eli. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, let's get into the show today. And our guest today, you know, really needs no introduction. You know, I had the pleasure of listening to him on a previous radio show here in Washington State. And, you know, I was floored by his work ethic, his love of his students at Vashai Elementary School. And as I'm hearing him, you know, talk about, you know, what he's doing, how he's doing, and how the kids are responding, and the emotion in his voice, you know, as he started to get choked up talking about his passion, I had to find him and get him on the show, and more importantly, try to find a way to work with him and be involved with the school. And, you know, my wife was like, well, why don't you just, you know, type his name in and see what comes up. Here's the link to the show and see if you can get a hold of him. And we did. We met in person once. We're going to meet again Friday. I would like to welcome Gerald Donaldson, family support worker at Lashai Elementary School, to the show. Thank you, man, for taking time out of your day to be on the show.
Good afternoon. Well, good morning here. Good afternoon. We're just in the South, down in the Carolina, you said, I believe, but
yeah, we're in South Carolina here, yeah.
South Carolina, yeah, just catching my breath. I just ran into the house. I just had a dental appointment, so I'm good to go. Thank you for having me, though. I'm excited about this.
Well, thank you for being on the show. Now, let's talk a bit about, you know, your work in the community, more importantly, mm-hmm. your work at Lashai Elementary. Take us through, you know, how that all came to be.
Okay, quick history. This past June 1st, that was 30 years with the Seattle School District and 26 at Lashai. It's an elementary school in the central area of Seattle, about 340, 45 kids this year. The program initially started, it's like to make sure your students and families' basic human needs were met. And as the years progressed, we just thought there has to be more we can do. So initially, we first started off, I did at least, with doing my boys' groups. And then it just evolved to more social justice, economic justice. And it keeps evolving. So as we got into this year, in the past years, let me backtrack, every year for the last 20 years, you know, I was debating with a sister who works at a First ME church here. We do Thanksgiving baskets every year. She's been doing it 30, and she decided the other day, I've probably been doing it just as long. It didn't seem like it, though. And we make sure every Thanksgiving that families got 20. We averaged about 20, 25 families. We start off at now Lashai, and that group, we do over 50 families a year. And we're working this year with different organizations. We'll do well over 200 families this year for Thanksgiving.
Outstanding. When did you know that this was your calling or this was your passion to be involved with these students, you know, these babies of yours, as you say? Because I really am a big fan after reading and learning more about what you do.
Well, thank you. It really goes back to high school. I got a dean of students named Ms. Joan Roberson. She's blessed. I was in junior, senior high school, always trying to clown around, and she just took me under her wing, wouldn't send me home or anything, call my parents. She just made me work with her and get back to class. And she just said, one day you're going to pay me back. And she even said, you'll be working in a school. And I had to laugh at her. I said, that'll never happen because I'm done. But I got hired by an organization out here called CAMP at the time. It was Central Area Motivation Program. My brother Larry Gossett ran it. And he hired me. And I swear to y'all, the first assignment I had, I had three high schools, and the first assignment I had was at the high school Ms. Roberson was working at then. And she called me in the office and just said, "I told you." And that's exactly how definitely I got started. It was, you know, I said, you know, that was it. But it was a high school, and I was writing a paper about how gangs had come into the Seattle area from California, and Delma Payne saw my paper and said, "We're starting a new program at Seattle Public Schools called Family Support Workers, and we need men the second time around. So she hired myself, Bernie Hall, and Thomas Theodore, and we just took off, man. It was just, and I got to the elementary level, and you just mentioned the term, they were my babies, because, you know, you see the innocence, you see the joy, the laughter, and then it just became, how can I help them more? Because still there was being, you know, the academic injustice, you know, sending our boys home from school or girls home from school. So I just figured I needed to dig in and make sure that if the kids had any challenges, they would come and see me instead of going home. And they'd spend time in my office, we'd get them back situated, and instead of sending them home, because what are they going to do at home? It didn't make any sense to me. So that's initially how I got deep into it, was stop sending my babies home, let them stay with me. And it's just not, you're not, kids just don't show out or have challenges because they want to. It can be something at home, you know, they're hungry. The first thing I always ask kids every morning when they come in, what did you eat? What time did you go to bed? And then if they stumble around both of them, I know they're tired and hungry, so I make sure they eat. They can take a nap in the office. So that it makes no sense to go to class if you're in any of those two conditions, right? So that's initially right. How it got started for me, the passion.
I love it, you know, and it's something that's needed. It seems like you instead of looking at them and talking to them, you know, above ground, you kind of met them where they are, and you're listening to their needs or their wants, and you're making it happen for them. And I think that is so important, especially right now. And you know, and talking with you, you know, I was just, you know, beaming with joy at the possibility of working together and helping, you know, a few families. And I know that it does it requires a lot of time and effort, and you have to be all in. And I know so many times I've seen folks who they want to help, they want to do the right thing, but they're not completely all in. And to listen to your story and to hear you on the previous radio show talk about, you know, your love for these students and wanting to see them get it right and see them get through and move on and level up it's amazing. And I'm glad that we connected, you know, and we're gonna continue to build this bond and help more families, not just the families we're going to help, you know, currently, but hopefully it branches out more. Tony, you have a question?
I do. I've been thinking about how important it is to have both that positive female role model and that male role model. And unfortunately, so many of our kids don't have access to these strong, positive male role models. And I'm curious if you have any thoughts on what we need to do, you know, to get these men in to, you know, to be those role models and help support these kids. Any thoughts or ideas on that?
Yes. Some of it is even just being thinking outside the box. I know a lot of times in the school system, you know, we make sure you want to, you know, have your degree in education and whatever, but we go to the community centers. I bring back some of our young brothers and sisters who I had who are graduated high school through college. They come back and mentor. You know, for example, our school is kindergarten through fifth grade, so part of what we do for our boys, we call that the Rising Sons, part of their obligation is to go back down and help our young kinders, right, so they can help them become successful. So my thought is the earlier we start them into mentorship, the better they understand what mentorship is and the importance of giving back. and just getting involved, just not with the school activities, but also in the social activities too. So a lot of our students, so they can see what's going on just in the world. When Trump won the election in 16, our students participated in the Women's March and other events around here to get them involved and being active at an early age. And part of that, what we've also done, is started a student racial equity team for kindergarten through fifth grade. And they help decision-making in the school. And also this year, until the pandemic hit, we were getting our young kids involved with interviewing incoming teachers and the principal if need be. And again, going back to the decision-making. So as long as I've been doing this, I make sure I stay in contact with the majority of students that I can and bring them back into the school and get them involved in the school activities into the community. Part of it is giving back.
That.
I have students who come back and help with the Thanksgiving and Christmas giveaways. So the importance of mentorship is if you don't know how to do it, you're not going to do it. So part of what I do is make sure they understand what I do and they can shadow me. I can mentor them. And then my expectation is they take what I've taught them and my coworkers is to give back to the community. That's the biggest thing, to start them early, in my estimation.
Absolutely love that. That's such an important thing, because then they have permission and they know they can go do it versus just having a desire but no idea of where to begin with that. So I think that's so important. That's fantastic.
Absolutely. Yeah. I love that. I love the interviewing the teachers and the incoming principal.
Yeah.
I think that's great.
It's so important to give people a sense of power,
Yes.
A sense of, they're involved and they're part of that decision making. It's really crucial.
Right. Because
let me ask you this.
Go ahead, sir.
No, go ahead. Finish your thought there.
No, I was talking with my brothers, young brothers who just started being a family supporter. He's asked me the other day, I said, a question about some of the drive. I said, well, some of mine is I know who pays me. Seattle School District pays me. That pays my bills, right? That's the bills. But that the love for the children pays my spirit. I think that's more important than the money.
Mm.
Like, it makes my spirit feel good.
Beautiful.
So that love comes, right? And the money's going to be there. But I, if you ever work in a school district or anything, you know it's not about the money, because we take so much out of our pocket. But when you go to work, and currently with the pandemic, there's an organization here called Central Area Youth Association. We have about 12 of our babies there. Even going in there daily, I go 3 days a week. It just feels that need to see somebody, right? And we just, it's just a beautiful thing. And yesterday they were interviewed by this University of Washington newspaper about how they felt the effect of the election had on them and their families. And that was outstanding. We interviewed, and just to hear third and fourth graders so passionate about the importance of vote and how they felt anxiety the night of the election. They were stressed. Their parents were stressed because they didn't know who was going to win. And then when they won, you just saw when I talked to them Monday before the election and then talked to them yesterday again after, oh, my God, just their their energy and their passion was so much higher. They looked stress-free. You could see the angst on their face on that Monday before the election. Then yesterday, oh my God, it was a complete turnaround. The spirit.
This is
their spirit
a really good point, though, because these are things that really do cause angst and stress for everybody. That unknown and. When you add that on to other stressors, you mentioned some of these kids aren't getting, enough to eat or a good night's sleep. So you add that on, it can really be traumatizing for people to have to, to go through these experiences that I think, sometimes we take for granted. And even us as adults, we're having stressful moments over the election. So imagine that for these kids who
When you hear about the students also taking, it's hard enough with online learning, and then you add the other dynamics, the election, the food security, the holidays coming up, all that stuff. And as adults, we seem to have the tendency to neglect that children have the same feelings as we do, just in a smaller body. You know, so it's doing the same, mm-hmm. the stress and everything we do. And we have to start realizing the only difference really between them and us is I'm older and my body's bigger. Other than that, we have the exact same, we're dealing with the exact same issues, just their mindset is there. But until we ask them the questions and they're equal to us, we just have to give them the love and understanding that I feel like you do and I know you feel like me. And if we work together, we can at least compromise and come to some understanding where we can help each other out.
But you bring up a really important point when you were talking about, you know, trying to put decision-making in the hands of, you know, people as much as possible. I think one of the big differences for children is, as children, a lot of times we don't have as much ability to make decisions. We don't have as much inherent power. And so every little place, I'm just thinking that where you're giving kids the opportunity to make those decisions about things that affect them, I think that really can add up. And it may, I think people could take that for granted, but it may, that may really be an important piece of the, you know, giving kids the sense of, you know, less anxiety. I don't think you should, we should as communities underestimate the importance of that, really.
You're right, 100%. Absolutely. They participate in their interview two times a year or three times a year. They go to the PTA meetings with the parents involved. They come to our staff meetings, the members of the equity team, our parent equity team meetings. They participate in those too. So they, our parents have kind of realized that if we're going to make any decisions at LSI, that if the babies aren't involved, it's really not a decision because we didn't involve them, right? We're making judgments for children, and we're not in the classroom. They are. They know. On the interviewing, for example, if you were being interviewed, I might see you 2-3 times a day. They see you 5 or 6 hours a day, right, in the classroom. They have a sense that you can be a good teacher and not for them. And that's I keep stressing. That's important because they have to feel that, they have to feel that vibe from the teacher just as well, vice versa. And if they're not feeling it, they can both have a hard time in class. And that's what we got to we got to get rid of that feeling because, you know, they're important too. That's why I go to work every day. That's why I go to work every day.
Right, right. I love that. Now I want to talk a little bit before we let you go about our partnership and what we're going to do for some families. I know that we're going to meet on Friday, and I'm looking forward to that. Can you talk a little bit about Friday and the importance of what you all are doing for families in the community at the school there?
Yes, sir. It started about, well, I think this Friday, 8 weeks. We started a thing called a grab and go. And initially it was basically make sure the human needs were met again, but we also added the tech support. If you're having trouble with your laptop at home, you can get that tech support. You can get your library books and free books for the building. You can also get, make sure every week you get a gift card for parents. And then we also do the grab and goes. Also, we have food that is donated from different organizations that we pick up starting at 10 in the morning out here. And they can get as much food as they want. They take it every Friday. And now we're adding the component where my brother greatly adopted four of our families. And I talked to him last night, Brother Rated, man, they're excited. They're beaming. and so they're looking forward to it. But the important thing is we have First Amy Church, a food bank out here donates, and a couple of other organizations. So they're starting to see that how much their impact on the community inspires our children just to stay afloat, and the parents as well. We have parents who never asked for anything. Matter of fact, we have parents who are getting help now who were giving help before, right? So and pride won't let them ask, right? So I'll just call and say, how you doing? You know, I get on my phone and ask. So what we're going to do tomorrow is the gift cards distribution. And also I just want my brothers and sisters, the family, just to meet this brother. I say young brother, I'm 65. So meet your brother and let them know what you do, because I really appreciated that just through a contact you saw on the radio show you heard. It was meant to be. I'm always feel that things happen for a reason. So, you know, the spirit moved both of us to, you know, to get together. And now we're going to have this great partnership. But and then the thing you do with the Black Panther, man, at Christmas, I hope we're going to continue that. That That's fantastic. But when you see these kids, bro, the families, I talked to all of them last night, and they were so pumped up. I didn't say no names or anything. What you doing? I said I have a brother needs to meet y'all tomorrow. Just be there. They were there. You know who? I can't tell you. It's a surprise. You know, so we got to deal with surprises. Everybody likes a surprise. But what you're doing for the community, and you just met me, man, is showing that what we need. We need to come together at this time. We need everybody to come together what they can, and whatever you can, an appearance, a handshake, whatever you can do, a greeting, help hand out food. You'd be surprised, man. Our babies see that, right? And that's another, right. When you get back to role modeling, they'll see that. Our boys, our kings and our queens will see that, and they'll say, one day, I'll do that. And the one day could be next week. One of the kids could say, can I help hand out food? They might collect money to give somebody a gift card. So, you know, each one teach one. We have to give back. And I've been threatening to retire for the last 10 years, and my wife always laughs at me. One more year. It just doesn't seem, you know, I know it can continue without me, but I don't know if I can continue without it, you know, because that drives me to get up in the morning, man. And I'm always thinking of things to do. So this effort here, matter of fact, if I can, this brother who I work with on Boys Group, John Gladney, he was asking for a speaker, and I brought you up, so he wrote your name down. So he'll be contacting you, because when you mention golf, our boys and girls don't know there's black golfers. So just things like that might inspire them to take a different path, right?
Right.
And so just what you're bringing to the table, bro, I don't know if you realize it, but when you feel that, and you'll feel it tomorrow, you just feel it, man. You'll go home and you and your wife, and that when you transfer that spirit to her on Friday, excuse me, you both of y'all will feel that, man. Just that love and appreciation from all walks of life. We get everybody there. And then I gave a young brother one last Friday, 2 weeks ago. He came in without a coat, and it was balmy out here and raining. I didn't have his size, so we have these little school sweatshirts, and it just says Les Shine, it's black with green letters and stuff. And I gave it to him, man. He and a coworker was there, and the boy said, "Les, I school sweatshirt. I've never had a school sweatshirt in all my life." He's in the fifth grade, and he was just beaming.
Wow.
And when you see that, it was like, my God, bro, you know, and it just wasn't a sweatshirt to him, right? It was a Les Shine sweatshirt. And it was my size. So he rolled the sleeves up, and it more looked like a shawl than a sweatshirt. But he just that look, and just he wore it back last Friday, because him and his mom and his baby sister come every Friday. They come a little late, but I can deal with that. And he still had it on. So, you know, those things. So when you whatever you do tomorrow and you see it, you're going to get that vibe too. That's important. And my sister, I wish she was here. Enjoy the love, but we'll send it to you. We'll send you that vibe.
Exactly. Exactly. I love the work that you do. I'm looking forward to it. And, you know, I've always been a big proponent of loving extremely hard. You know, even, you know, right now, mm-hmm. I know it's difficult. I know it's hard. And I'm not saying that I don't struggle and go through things, because I do. But I do know that if you love hard, and you keep loving mm-hmm. hard, you know, no matter what, you know, you'll get there. It's easy to kind of give in, and then, you know, you're angry, and the negative energy is starting to consume you. So I've tried to take, you know, the things that are bothering me or affecting me, and try to change that into some type of love.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, giving back has been great. I look forward to growing the partnership and meeting these families Friday, and I'm sure I'll be smiling from ear to ear, you know, and it just says a lot about, you know, your character and the teachers and students there, you know, all of you. It's like you see what happens when you do love and you do extend your hand. You see what can be done. We just have to continue to
mm-hmm.
to believe that it's gonna catch on, and you know, we're gonna heal. Now, you know, there's a process, so we still have to go through that, and as we go
right.
through the journey, kind of, you know, take in what we're seeing, good and bad, and try to process it, and you know, and turn that into love. So I think you're doing that.
Uh-huh.
It is great to see. I'm so glad that you took time out of your day to to be on the show and to chat with Tony and I. Before we let you go, one more question.
Mm-hmm.
One more question.
Yes, sir.
Why do you do it? Why? Why is it so important to you to do this?
Man, that's a rough one. You know, when we were little, man, my sister and I, my dad worked his butt off. My mom did, but she suffered from mental illness, right? So she was in and out of the Western State Hospital out here where they really just treated you bad, right? So schizophrenia like that. But my mom told me, said, anything in life that you want to do, you have to own it, right? And so
right.
Just like that, she said she owned her schizophrenia. It didn't own her. She owned it. And I want to. My obligation back to the kids is that I owe them something, right? I do, because we grew. It was a decent grow up, but you know, my mom wasn't there like other moms are there, and that really bothered me. And I said, when I get that opportunity, I got to give back, you know, because she told me, regardless how she did and what she lived through, my nickname is Rocky. Rocky, you got to give back, and so that stuck. And right, I can't let her down. You know, she asked me to do something, told me I had to do so. But then the passion came in. When you see a little kid, bro, when you see kids coming in the morning, I had a young brother, he lived in Mount Vernon, but that's like an hour from last night. But his mom wanted him to finish his fourth or fifth grade year with us, right? And he'd come in every morning. I'd get there at 6:30. He'd come right behind me, and we'd talk a minute, then he'd fall asleep, then we'd eat breakfast together. And I still stay in touch. He's up to school. I've been to visit him a few times. And he said, Mr. Donaldson, or Mr. D, as they usually say, by the time you're retired, I'll be ready for you. And so I know he's thinking he's going to take my place, so I got a few years to go for him. That's what drives me, man, that I just do it, man. First, it's fun. Kids make me laugh. There's been some tragedies, but mainly, man, it's just family. You know, I wouldn't do anything for my family that I wouldn't do for them. We were foster parents for years. I mentioned that to you, bro. And we took in a couple of kids who went to the school because their parents were going through some struggles, and we took them in too. So I have to do it, man. You know, some people are put here to be athletes or I don't know, but I was here for that reason. I can't shy away from that. That's what God wanted me to do, so I have to do that. So, you know, that's what gets me up in the morning and puts me to bed at night. I get up in the morning thinking, what can I do? It just it's a nice thing to be consumed with, for lack of a better phrase, right now. But I wouldn't do anything. I wouldn't change it for the world. You know, they keep me young.
Yeah.
I mean, little stuff like a little sister the other day said, and I know my mask wasn't as big as it should be. She said, "Do you know why do you think it's okay to have your beard hanging from your mask?" I mean, you know, just a simple 5-year-old girl saying that. But you know, it's just, and I had to laugh because she was right. But just those little things during the day, you know, you could be feeling down. You hear one little thing your child says to you, and, man, it just changes your whole day. You know, they're just the innocence, bro, the innocence. So my sister and my brother, I appreciate the time, because I could go on. Because, you know, when you ask me questions like that, we can talk 3 or 4 hours, man, because that's
Right.
I feel their energy now, right now, saying, you know, you didn't answer all the questions, Mr. Donaldson. So, you know, I feel them saying that to me, but I appreciate it.
Well, we appreciate you, and we're going to let you, you know, continue your day, and God bless you, man, and I look forward to seeing you on Friday. So take care of yourselves.
Thank you.
Be safe out there.
I will.
I'll definitely be in touch.
All right. And Tony, thank you for your time.
It's great to meet you. Thank you.
All right. Appreciate you. God, stay safe, and much love. Much love to you.
Same.
Likewise.
Here.
You take care.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Outstanding interview, Tony. I mean, I just love Mr. Donaldson's work, his work ethic. It just says a lot. And when I heard him on the show, on a previous show, I had to kind of seek him out and see if I could help in some way. We're going to make that happen. So I'm pretty blessed, as is he just stated. And this is what it's all about. I think this is what moves, you know, at least my spirit, you know, in a positive way. And it gets me off of the negative thinking of where we are in the world. You know, I know it's divided, you know, but I try to continue to love as hard as I can. And when you meet folks like Mr. Donaldson, you know, it gives you more of that reason to love hard and push forward and continue to extend your hand and reach back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really amazing what he's doing, just day in and day
out. Day in and day out. Well, my friend, we have just about come to the end of the show here. What does the week, rest of the week, look like for you? Your workshops coming up this weekend, and the jewelry store, which is awesome news. I got to say, like, that's awesome that it's about to launch.
Yeah, we're really excited, and you know, the women have made some really beautiful jewelry, and so there's, you know, that's been a whole journey of, you know, getting everything ready for that and making sure it's set up in a good way. So yeah, I'll be focusing on that, and then, you know, just seeing my clients and doing groups. I'll say I do have invoices to get done, Eli. It's my least favorite part of my job. And so sometimes my clients are like, Tony, you've got an invoice for me? It's been a while. So it is that time of the month that I need to get those done before they start asking me again. So, yeah. How about you, Eli? I mean, you've got some serious, you mentioned your new restrictions that you've got in place right now. That you've got some very... a lot of many different kinds of rules that you have to follow now. So I guess that's going to impact what you do over the, you know, next several days.
Right.
But what are you going to do?
Well, you know, Friday I'm going to meet with Mr. Donaldson and, you know, some of the students and families at Leisha Elementary, so that I'm excited about that. And I think in the meantime, you know, I'll continue to kind of reach out to families to make sure that they're doing okay. And sometimes it's not always monetary, you know, that they is a need, you know. Sometimes they just need a good word or something positive said to them. So I'll continue to reach out to family and friends via text, email, and make sure everybody's doing good. Kind of help my little guy with his work at school. You know, I'm going to try to jump in and help with a little bit of math today, even though that's not my forte. I am going to try to do that and continue to mentally make sure I'm as fresh as I need to be as I, you know, we deal with these new restrictions here in Washington State, because I know there are going to be so many people who are going to struggle with that and are disappointed. And believe me, I feel that. I understand it. I'm disappointed too. You know, I just think we just got to, you know, practice, you know, what they've got in place, and hopefully we'll get through this and things will be okay. So I won't do too much. I'll do enough to make sure that I've had an impact on folks, and I have plenty to talk about next week, that's for sure. So stay tuned for that. And with that, this has been a great show. I want to thank Gerald Donaldson once again for being on the show, family support worker at Leisha Elementary School. Folks, get involved in your communities somehow, some type of way, whether it's just sending an email to a teacher to let her know that she's appreciated and loved. You know, just do something in your community. It does help. It has a positive effect on you. Make sure you're checking on your family and friends as well. That's very important, especially around this time here in Washington State with the new restrictions. I know it's going to be difficult, so make sure you check in on your family and friends. Thank you all for tuning in and checking the show out. Tony and I really appreciate the love and support we get each and every week. Take care of yourselves.
Yes, you do.
And make sure you practice those precautions. And until next week, thank you for listening to the Elijah Winfrey Show on blogtalkradio.com. Be sure to download this show wherever you download your favorite podcast. We are on Apple Podcasts, we are on iHeartRadio, and other large podcasting platforms. So be sure to download there. Until Tuesday, take care. Bye-bye.